Amen. Kick your feet up. April will be 2 years we've been teaching on Revelation. Yeah, 2 years. So we should be finishing up around April. We're going to go to Revelation 19 tonight. First, I'm going to pray over you because it's a decontamination center. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And I was reading 1 Samuel 16 down around 26, verse 26. And David would play a lyre. I like to call it a lair because a lyre today has a different connotation. But then it was a lyre. Today it's a lair. And it's actually a seven-stringed instrument. And you see little angels holding them where they come up and they have two forks coming up. And they come on the top like this. They got strings coming down. And I was sharing this with Pastor Jack that when he played the lair, actually, it wasn't the top tune of that day. And probably in most cases, most people would not even like it. But he played, it also said he was skilled, so he had to play some type of song. Right, Tim? You hear? Yeah, I mean, as a musician, if he's skilled, he has to play some type. So when his hand touched those strings, actually the anointing fell on him. And the evil spirit that was on Saul would leave. Amen? So when we go before the Lord like we did tonight, you just had a little touch of heaven. Because when we sang to the Lord, we sang out of the wellsprings of our stomach. Out of the wellsprings will flow out rivers of life. And so in there, our spirit man, that's how we praise God. And it's not always a voice that's in tune with somebody else. It's a voice that you bring up deep from the wellsprings of living water. And those praises go forth. So they are sweet praises. They now might not be the notes that you like, but they are notes that are bringing life. Not only, it's not for God's sake, but it's for yours because it brings you freedom. It brings you healing. It brings you fullness of your salvation by praising God. Oh, yeah. So that's how when we get before Him, we praise Him. And it's not always a nice and popular sound, but it's a sound we praise Him with. And when you're alone at home or driving in a car, that's how you want to praise Him. Praise Him out of the wellsprings in your spirit, man. Turn the radio off.
Yes, sir.
Song says turn it on. We say turn it off. Amen. Yes, go to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. But when Tim come forward with the word of praise, that's what praise is. It's worshiping before Him with a new song.
Yes.
New song. Going to go to Revelation 19. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Okay? Get you out of here. I'm going to pray for you before we start. 60 minutes, that's all. And you can go. Father, we thank You. You strengthen them tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, where there's fatigue, there is strength in the name of Jesus in You. Father God, where there's concern or loss of anything, Father God, You fill them to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You that eyes and ears understanding are open and enlightened to the word which You have for them tonight, Lord God. They will not be distracted, Heavenly Father. They will not fatigue, Lord God. They will not be dull hearing, but Heavenly Father, they will be attentive to the word of God, just like You had King David attentive to King Saul in music. They're going to be attentive to the word tonight, Father. It's going to come to them, Lord God. Strengthen them, enlighten them, and show them the way. Hallelujah. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Let's go to Revelation 19. Probably be a 19b. There's so much in this chapter that just can't cover it all in the time. Unless you want to stay a little bit tonight, we might get through it. It's your choice. Amen. Revelation 19:1 says, the marriage of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb. Now I'm going to read down to verse 10, and we're going to talk about that. And I hope we get on over to verse 11. It goes, the triumph of Christ will be at verse 11. So let's get reading here. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he hath saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do that not. I am a fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, what Jesus said has come to pass. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what we, the church, are waiting on. This is what we cry out for. This is what we are here for. Amen. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. A great voice. A voice that sounds like thundering. A voice of many waters. It's saying in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. This should make us rejoice. If we look at Revelations and seeing this judgment coming down, all this devastation, this should make us rejoice, because this is judgment against the great whore, or against this government in this world that's going about killing our brothers and sisters in Christ, or about dragging them out of their homes and torturing them. This judgment came. This makes me happy. So I go, Hallelujah, because it is judged. And in 18, it says that in 1 hour, Babylon fell. Or in other words, in 1 hour, this system, this evil system fell. It collapsed. In 1 hour, even the ships that were around her, that were trading from her, had cried, Oh, woe is me. All this trading we had. But see, God's people rejoice because judgment came. Amen. And we're not going to be here. Okay? But they will be here. The ones that served him, those that took the mark, those that used our brothers and sisters in trade, in sex slaves, and this is going to be judged. God will not tolerate this no more. And I was so glad that when I read this, because it made me rejoice. The bowls are poured out. The judgment's completed. The time for the marriage supper is here. Amen. What a glorious time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew 26:29. Jesus awaits this banquet. Jesus awaits this. He's even excited about it. Amen. This banquet. Revelation 21:9 says, the bride. We are the bride. Revelation 19:7 says, the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. If the saints are raptured in chapter 4, you probably would have a question. Why did he wait till chapter 19? Well, you've got to understand the Jewish wedding, and that's where I'm going to go. I want to talk about the Jewish wedding, because the Jewish wedding, there is so much in there that's the same as the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? So, before I wanted to go also to Matthew 22, but we're going to read this first. I have these in my side notes. I'm sorry, I don't. There's pulling out of scripture, but You listen, I think this is very, very interesting. And it cleared up a lot of things in my mind about a wedding, because I never knew why a wedding did the things they do, especially a Jewish wedding. But even in the American, in the wedding, some things in that wedding, like the exchanging of the vows, come from the Jews, from the Jewish wedding. Amen? And that's why they do what they do. And some that stand in the four corners under a, I don't have the term, whatever the four poles are, they're under there taking the vows. Well, the Jews did that. That's where that come from. Amen? So there's three things in a wedding. It's the engagement. It's the betrothal in a Jewish wedding. And then there's the wedding. So we're going to talk about the engagement. The Jewish families, they always promise their children in marriage at a young age. So they could be 7 or 8 or 9. They're promising them to be married to another young boy, but they are of like faith. So they know that certain things that they did in like faith would all set the stage for that wedding when they would grow up. Genesis 28, just a reminder that Esau married an Ishmaelite against the father's wishes. And you know what that caused, right? So the lineage that come down was evil. They worshipped another god. And although they say they worship God, they are actually worshiping Baal. So Jacob fell in love with Rachel at first sight, but he ended up marrying his sister, her sister, because he was tricked. He worked 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, Rachel's father said, "Oh, but you had the wrong sister. You have to work another 7 years for Rachel." So there you have it, going about doing your own thing your own way. It'll cost you. Amen? It'll either cost you time or it'll cost you the very woman that you should have had. So I guess praying and waiting and seeking God has a lot of rewards for the young guys and girls. By the way, for her 7 years, he married the wrong girl. What I'm trying to say here, if he would have waited, he would have had 7 years with Rachel the way God wanted it to be, if he would have done it right. But think about this. The tribulation is 7 years. But if we get raptured in Revelation 4, where are you going to be for 7 years? You're going to be up in heaven getting ready for the marriage feast that's going to take place in heaven. Amen? Okay, just follow me a little bit here. The betrothal, okay? Make sure I'm not missing anything. Usually between the age of 12 and 15, and the father would ask a price. He would negotiate a price for his daughter. Now this money, as we get further on, I'll read to you why this money was collected. He paid a great price for her. There wasn't cheap in that day. Now, whether it was an agriculture society and they had so many sheep, but it was a great price. Who else paid a great price for us? Jesus. He pays a great price for his bride. Didn't come cheap. Amen. For one year, they would not drink from the vine or live together for 1 year. She would prepare her dress for the wedding for 1 year. I thought that was fascinating. We get a lifetime to prepare our dress, our robe of righteousness. for the wedding. Amen. The groom builds the mansion. And whether it was on his father's house or property, the groom would build the mansion. What's John 14 say? I go prepare a place for you. In my house are many mansions. Funny how this is lining up. Because Jesus went and built us a mansion so he could receive his bride. I think that's beautiful. Amen. So let's talk about the wedding. Although the bride didn't know the exact day of her wedding, she knew it would be most likely in the autumn to allow completion of the harvest. That's interesting. Why is that interesting? Because more likely, we're not time. You can't set time. We're not date setting at all. But you will know the seasons. You will know the season. Your spirit will know that season. If we're going by the Jewish wedding, then could it be that we have a wedding in autumn? What would the harvest be? It'd be the souls of men. I thought that was great. While his mansion was being built and near completion, the bride would gather all her friends and await the groom's arrival. We gather. We gather together as a church. We gather all our friends, friends of God, sons and daughters, and we praise Jesus and we wait for the arrival of our God, the rapture. Am I not excited here? The groom and the friends sound a trumpet. And they parade to the bride's house. So how many blocks that was, I don't know, but they're going up these streets blowing that trumpet because he loves his bride. At the sound of a, he will, come on, come on. Can't be that tired. You got to see this, man. It's good stuff. Amen. At the sound of a trumpet, they parade to the bride's house through the streets. She would arise when he would parade in and blow the trumpet. She would arise, put on her wedding dress, and she would get the blessings of the father and go out and meet the groom in the streets. Christ is coming back after us, his bride. Taking us to heaven. And he's going to get the nod from the Father. Yes. Amen. Amen. But when it goes out to the streets, I want to go back and I want to read something else to you. Together they would stand under a four-posted canopy to be married. Talk about the wedding. The ceremony consisted not of vows, but of simple reading of the blood covenant or a simple reading of the contract. I thought Pastor Jack just taught here last week. We are heirs. Did you not preach that? I'm pretty sure you did. We are heirs. Yes. But here it says they're going to read the contract that was drawn up 1 year before. Along with the blessing. The procession would continue to the mansion where the best man would stand outside of the door and await the groom announcement of consummation and that the bride was a virgin with evidence of a blood-spotted sheet. Once he got that, then the wedding would continue for 7 days. Woo. This was evidence. Why I'm waiting because this has been lost. This has not come down through the generations till we taught our children about the importance of being a virgin. Today, they make fun of you. But you see how important it was in the Jewish covenant, because it gave evidence that the wedding would continue. Not only that, but sometimes there were no spotted sheets. And if she wasn't a virgin, the wedding would not continue. That's where this money was collected. Remember I told you back when I read about that, that they collected money because you had to buy his daughter? Well, if they found out she wasn't a virgin, she would get that money because she needs it, because she wouldn't marry again. She's done. And that's the only money that she would have. How are we virgins? We all are virgins by the birth, the new birth, by the pleading of the blood of Jesus, by the cleansing of the Word of God, of the washing of the water of the Word. How are we virgins? We don't go out and worship idol gods. We don't go out and worship money. We don't go out and play the part of a prostitute. If you read Hosea, she left three times. And he told Hosea to go get her. And at one last time, she actually was worthless. And they put her up on an auction block. He told Hosea, go buy her back. God bought us back. We were prostitutes.
Yeah.
He bought us back.
Amen.
So that we can become the bride. Amen. I want to read you something in. You can go with me if you want. You don't have to. I'm going to read it out of Revelation 22. I only want to bring a point across. Matthew 22. We're going to go to verse 6. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them the marriage. Back up. Then he saith to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. What did we just talk about? Because they were in the world. Because they prostituted themselves. They were not worthy. They were not ready. Go ye therefore into the highways, and many ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So their servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came into to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in here, in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And he said, Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's your wedding garment? You know what your wedding garment is? It's you will be clothed in righteousness. And if you have gone astray in your heart, if you have prostituted the gospel, then that's what these guys snuck in or invited in as an imposter to the wedding. But they couldn't stay because they didn't have their garment of righteousness. And this is what he's telling me, cast them out. So it was with the girl that was not a virgin. She got cast out. There was no wedding. The wedding could not continue. Amen? And I found that so interesting, the parallels that were to the church. Because even though we are born again, some are just not faithful. I don't know where that goes. I'm not the judge, but I do know that God will cast them out if their heart's not right and they don't have the robe of righteousness. Back to Revelation 19. There is no description given to the wedding supper. The Greek word for a marriage means a marriage feast. This will undoubtedly be an actual literal supper, just as we would enjoy here on earth. It is difficult to envision untold thousands participating in an event, but nothing is impossible with God. If you thought the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle, you're in this wedding. Millions are going to be at this wedding. Now, can you imagine the roar of praise that's going to go on there? And when Christ walks in, the roar. John's response to all this was so overwhelming that he wanted to worship the angel as he would worship God, but he was forbidden to do that because the messenger claimed he was a fellow servant, apparently a redeemed person, one of the brethren, with the testimony of Jesus and a spirit of prophecy. Now, angels are not all angels. If those going to heaven, they could be fellow servants that God sends to do certain things. And that's what the case was here. When John bowed down, he worshiped them. He told him, said, I am a fellow servant. Angels are messengers. Angels could be pastors. It renders that too. But this was an actual brother that went to heaven and was bringing this message to John. It has often been thought that the marriage supper would be in the air when Christ comes at the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, rather than in heaven. There is, however, no reason to conclude this to be the case. On the contrary, it appears clear that the supper takes place in heaven. When Christ meets the saints in the air, he will take them to heaven and present them to the Father. Oh, man. The bride, she asked the Father for her blessings, and the bride was presented to the groom when they came to the house up the streets. Awesome. The supper will take place just prior to the second advent when Christ will come from heaven with his saints. When they leave heaven to come back to earth, they will come directly to earth and deliver Israel and set up a new kingdom which will continue forever. Hallelujah. It is going to be such a glorious time. And I don't know how I'm doing on time. But I thought that very interesting that you would want to hear about a Jewish wedding and why we do things like we do today. And a lot of them are not the true brides because they compromise themselves. But my granddaughter's sitting back there. I mean, hey, when we have a wedding, is it going to continue for 7 days? Amen. 7 days. Praise Jesus. And I found that fascinating at the wedding feast that those that come in or some had to leave. I mean, they were just not guests. And some weddings have people come in on the weddings and they're partying, but they're not a guest. They were asked to leave. Amen? Amen. I got a few minutes left here. How am I doing on time, Cal? Oh, wow, that's great. We're gonna move on to Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And on his head were many crowns. And he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There it is again. Robe of righteousness. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. My God. The main theme of the book of Revelation is the second coming of Christ. He is coming back again. And when he does, he is coming from heaven. It is stated in this portion of Scripture that he will be on a white horse. He is called Faithful and True, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. He also has a name that no one knows but himself. When he comes, it will be with authority, and he will judge the nations and rule with a rod of iron. As he comes from heaven, the saints will follow clothed in white linen, which is the righteousness of saints. Together with the saints and angels, Christ comes in a glorious way to defeat the dragon, the beast, the false prophets, and their armies. Israel will be delivered from a reign of, Israel will be delivered, and a reign of righteousness will be established on the earth. What a time that will be, amen? One of the most magnificent descriptions in the Apocalypse is in verse 11, where it speaks of conquering return of Christ, bringing an end to the beast and establishing his kingdom on earth. The crowns on his head, the diadema, Greek for kingly crowns. This is in contrast to Stephanos, Greek for victors, crowns of the elders. Christ is king. And if you all notice, when the elders and the four beasts fall down, their crowns, when we sang the song, my crowns before him, that's what that means. They take their crowns off. They throw their crowns before him. Amen. It is awesome. Hallelujah. Churches observe the Lord's Supper in response on the commandment of Christ. And when they do, they are showing forth the Lord's death till he comes. They're showing forth the Lord's death till he comes. This observance also declares his second coming. He took bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat it." Likewise, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which he shed for you. Drink it. And as you do, do it in remembrance of me." Till his second coming. So that's very important for communion, to understand how we are honoring him. In John 6:53, it says, this was interesting. I want to go there in John, because I want to get something over, a very good point. Go to John 6:53. We're winding down, church. Let's back up to verse. I keep backing up here. This is really good. Let's go to 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give in my flesh, what I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you." Communion is important? I would think it is. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." You are a dead man walking. There'll be no, you. This is how important communion is. When we take communion up here, we celebrate communion. Yeah. But we know how important the bread and the blood is. We know that. And so after we take that, we live. Eternal life. Now I want to go down to verse 65. And he said, "Said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father?" Think about that verse. No man can come unto Jesus except it was given to him by the Father. God knew you in the womb. Okay, missed that one. From that time on, John 6, 6, 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. John 6, 6, 6. Holy Spirit inspired, church. Holy Spirit inspired. So, taking communion is very important. We shall live when we eat of his body and drink his blood. But we have to continually protect our hearts. Guard your heart with all. Somebody taught on that, didn't they? I know somebody taught on that. Dean, with all diligence. It's work. Because you have to work out your salvation. Protect your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And if they compromise you, get on your face as quickly as you can and repent. Because you need to protect. You need to wear your robe of righteousness. Not just in church. On the job. In this world, wherever we go, we got to wear our robe of righteousness. And, you know, people come, there's something about you. Why am I coming over here talking? There's something about you. There's just something about you. And we get to witness that way because we wear our robe of righteousness. Amen. Hope you enjoyed that about the wedding. There's such parallels that we learned tonight. And God's come, John 14, he's preparing a place for you. And he's coming again. The word says that. So be ready. The virgins were without their oil. They were not ready. Some were ready, some weren't. But we need to be ready for him. How will we do that? Get in the Word of God. Get in church. Get loving him. Because church, if it ever were at 12 o'clock he was coming, I tell you this, from my spirit, man, it's 11:59. Yeah. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.